When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi everyone, it's Cammy here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Heart and Hand. If you happen to listen to the shows on the Apple, Android or Spotify platforms, could you please give Heart and Hand a follow on there? They may also ask you to write a wee review, and if you could write us a really good one, we would massively appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hello everyone and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. This is your extra show for the week. My name is Cammy Bell. I am your host as always. And it is a delight to be speaking to you this week after a Rangers victory in the Scottish Cup semi-final. But I've got another treat for you, and that is in the form of my wonderful guest this week, Miss Laura Clark, joining me all the way from all the way where you are, which is over there, sunny Belfast.
What an introduction, Cammy. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on. Nice to be coming on after a victory. You had asked me to come on last week and we just couldn't get a time that suited both of us. So I'm quite glad I managed to dodge that one and I'm on this week instead.
Well, I mean, I don't want to disparage my other guests, Laura, but this is the reason as to why, you know, our title chances could be slipping away, is because the guests, they have been good. They've just not been to your standard. So that's a responsibility I'm going to place on your shoulders, as we're going to talk about getting back to league action in St Mirren Sunday. So no pressure there.
No pressure at all. But just as much pressure as the players are under, but sure, we thrive on it. Certainly you and I do. We'll see whether the boys in blue are the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Laura, let's do a quick recap, because I've not had the pleasure of being able to try and get your thoughts on Rangers' Scottish Cup semi-final win over Hearts last Sunday at Hampden. Obviously, the boys did a sterling job on the flagship on Monday, and we've had some fantastic coverage on our Patreon site as well, folks. If you want to jump on there and join it, then I will give you the details at the end of the show, as always. Laura, all joking aside, I think that, you know, the Scottish Cup semi-final is not something that we could take for granted. We are not in a position within our recent history to pick and choose which cups we can decide that we want and don't want. I don't think any Rangers fan, if I'm being perfectly honest, was looking to be able to try and say that, you know, let's throw the baby out of the bathwater, the season's done, blah, 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 given our recent league form. The manager has always made commentary that, you know, the league is a marathon, the cups are a sprint. But Sunday for me had to serve a purpose, which was for us to be able to get back to winning ways. Everyone will always say, you know, it's not about the performance, you know, in its entirety. The result is the most important thing. We got the result. And maybe it's the eternal optimist in me, but I actually felt that we did some of the things that had been missing, and by that I mean some of the basics. So I'm not saying that it was a game-changing performance in terms of what it could mean for the rest of the season. But we probably had to take a little bit of a step back given recent results and performances, obviously, in Dingwall and Dundee. Regroup as a unit. We had to make some changes. And I think that we saw all of those elements come to fruition on Sunday afternoon. I'm not going to say it was an easy game. I wouldn't disparage Hearts by saying that. But the most important thing, I think, for me was that we could go out and give a decent account of ourselves. And I think we did that pretty confidently.
I think we had to give a decent account of ourselves. And I think we had to win the game. You mentioned there about this season. I think if we'd lost at the weekend, the season could have quite easily petered out to nothing. Now, you know me as a person, I'm very optimistic. I haven't given up on the league title. Now, a lot of people will probably scoff at that and say I'm clutching at straws, but it's 3 points. I'm not convinced the other side of the city are going to win all of their post-split games. Obviously, we have to go there and win, but in terms of Sunday, obviously, we had a pretty dreadful week leading into it. There's no way to dress it up. I was feeling quite downbeat by my own standards, but then I thought all I can hope for is that when the team comes out, 75 minutes before Cammy, that we see changes. I was hopeful of Ridvan coming back in, didn't transpire to be the case, but seeing Diamandi in there gave me a bit of confidence. I think Fabio Silva needed to come out of the team now. I don't think Robbie Matondo had the greatest game, and I think he's probably more useful as an impact sub. But I know there was a lot of talk during the week, people saying sort of rip it up and drop this player and drop that player. And we're very emotional post-match. But I think, you know, if you're deep down in your heart of hearts, if you're honest with yourself, you knew that the manager wasn't going to make wholesale changes. He's not going to drop, you know, people are saying drop Lundstrom, drop Tavernier. That's not going to happen. But I think it was a big call to not select Connor Goldson. And I think that it was needed. He's struggling at the moment and he's struggling for form. And I think he's struggling for confidence off the back of that. I think the manager did the right thing. He's obviously protecting his players. He said that he planned to do that on Wednesday against Dundee, and then Liam Balligan was sick, so he couldn't. So it was an opportunity to rest Connor Goldson. And obviously, a lot of people are saying, you know, that he hasn't been rested, he's been dropped. I guess, Cammy, the proof of that will come on Sunday. If Connor Goldson is back into the side and Liam Balligan goes back out, then Connor Goldson has been rested. But I actually wouldn't be surprised perhaps if Connor Goldson comes back into the team at the weekend, but Liam Balligan keeps his place as well. He can play in that left-hand centre-back, and I was probably quite surprised at the weekend with Balligan and Suter playing that they didn't swap around, but I guess it's about continuity and wanting to keep to make as little change as possible. But I think John Suter had a wee spell in the second half of that game where he was struggling a wee bit. Now, fair play to him, he brought it back, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is really a case of resting the, as I say, if Goldson comes back in and he plays alongside Balligan. In terms of the overall performance, I think we've talked about this ad nauseum on other shows on this site, and we talk about it in chats and so on. I don't know about you, but I think you can always tell in the first couple of minutes how we're going to play. And I think we came out and we set a tempo and we looked hungry. And I think, to be honest, it maybe came as a bit of a surprise to Hearts. A lot of people were saying, oh, I thought Hearts would really get at us and, you know, they'd really go for us early on. But I don't think they had that opportunity. We took possession of the ball and we were quite calm and we kept it. And considering the coming off the back of the two results we had, I thought we actually looked quite confident. And I think Balligan coming in and Diamandi coming in made a difference. I thought Lundstrom looked more confident with having Diamandi beside him. Probably that just bit of defensive security. We've been playing with, you know, an 8 and 2 tens, if you want to call it that. And he knows that if it's Tom Lawrence and Todd Cantwell, he has a lot of defensive work. And I think he's maybe struggled with that. So I think he had that assurance of having Diamandi beside him. And he's a guy that's not afraid to take the ball in tight areas. And if people are struggling, he'll put his hand up and say, give it to me and I'll take it. And things like that can matter, particularly when a team is under pressure. But I think it was a much needed result, and it's amazing how different you feel off the back of a win. Suddenly things don't look so bad, and obviously we know that our rivals got through on Saturday but struggled, perhaps conceded 2 goals in 90 minutes, and you look at the split fixtures and suddenly things don't quite look so bad as they did, you know, 3, 4, 5 days before. And again, maybe that's just me being an eternal optimist, but I do think that was a big boost on Sunday, and I do think there's still certainly something to hold on to in terms of the league, not just obviously in terms of the cup final.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's loads to unpack there, and I think starting on Connor Goldson, because let's face it, it has been the main talking point as well. I don't know if you've had the chance to listen to his podcast interview that's kind of come out in the last couple of days as well, Laura, where I think it's been interesting, because I think that there's been some criticism aimed towards him for some comments made in that. I don't really subscribe to any of that. I think if you've got a natural bias to where Connor Goldson is at the moment, and the emotion of how poor he's been playing, because I'm not going to take that away, right? I'm not suggesting anything other than that, because I think he knows as well he's not been playing well, right? I don't think you can really get away from that. But there's a human element to that where I think, you know, we have to respect it, right? I always like to say that within pods, we can always be reasonable. You're absolutely right. We are an emotive bunch, but listen, it's why we love this team and we love this sport. Goldson, for me, I think it was the right thing to do to drop him. I think it was, you know, however you want to dress it up in terms of giving him a rest or refreshing the back centre pair, whatever you want to call it, I think was the right move. I think you've hit the nail on the head. I don't think it would have been prudent to potentially move Balogun and Suter around, because I actually think Suter played better. Playing well is probably something a little bit, you know, beyond the stretch. However, he did play better, and when he had, you know, a poor spell in the game, he did recover, as you said. So I think that even if he can take that as a positive out of the game, then fantastic. There's clearly something, and I think, you know, we've spoken a lot that it felt to me, especially in Dundee, that we had a Rangers team that was just afraid to take risks. And we've seen that from some of these players previously, almost reverting to type. I'd like to play a safe ball. I don't want to play a risky pass. Or if I do play a risky pass, the likelihood is it's not going to be able to come off. And Connor Goldson was guilty of that, right? There's no getting away from it. What I think we've seen in that terms of that difference is Mohamed Diamandé coming in, I think wanting the ball, which I think, again, signifies that bravery, but being able to do something with it. He's not just coming in to take the ball and not be able to try and produce anything. And I think that almost gives us a settled feel that, again, if you're in a little bit of trouble, a little bit of bother, close quarters, or you're being pressed, then you can give the ball to this guy and you know that it's going to be looked after. Sometimes I think there's elements where we've maybe played the ball to certain players where you worry about losing it, and then all of a sudden you're on the retreat again, which again doesn't help when you're looking to be able to try and press forward as much as you can. And I think if we could talk about where Todd Cantwell started to come back into a good bit of form, it probably couldn't have happened at a better time. And it's strange because, again, the psychology of the semi-final, I think for me, allowed the opportunity for us to be able to recover some form, to obviously get a good result, to progress us through to the final. All of those things are fantastic. But the flip of that coin, Laura, is I think it psychologically could have been a disaster if we had went out on Sunday. I think that it almost turns the final into a procession because I know Celtic have had issues with Hearts recently. I'm not decrying that, but I just don't think, for me at least, that Hearts team would have been able to muster a challenge against Celtic because we didn't see too much from them ourselves. So for all of those reasons, I think that you can only really look at last Sunday as a massive bonus. would, we're going to talk about St Mirren obviously in due course, but would you like to see Conor Goldson return on Sunday, or would you like to stick with Leon Balligan alongside, well, I'm assuming John Souter, of course. I think Ben Davis likely not to play again for Rangers. But would you like to see Goldson brought back in? Do you think he's had enough of a kind of down period before he was to return, or would you like to see us come back into that?
I think based on the performance on Sunday, all right, as I say, John Souter had a wee bit of a shaky spell, about 20 minutes or so, but we've both played the game at a much lower level. I don't know about you. I played in defence. If you played at centre-back and you kept a clean sheet, you would be hoping to keep the shirt for the weekend. I think that that's only fair. They look pretty assured. If he did come back into the side and it was beside Balligan, I don't think I'd be overly stressed about that either, because Conor Goldson, for me, is a guy who plays much better when he's more assured of the partner beside him. We saw that in the season that we won the league. Him and Hallander formed a pretty formidable partnership, and he could just concentrate on what he was doing because he didn't have to worry about the guy beside him. And I think if he played with Balligan, he would probably feel like that. So I think for me, regardless of who the other person beside him is, I do think that Leon Balligan should play. But I think if either of them dropped out, whether it be him or Souter, they'd be pretty disappointed just based on the fact that we won the game and we kept a clean sheet. It wasn't an absolutely formidable defensive performance or anything, but they were sound, and as I say, they didn't concede, and that's probably all you can ask for of your back four as a unit, but certainly off your centre-half partnership.
And I think, you know, I want to come back just to kind of talk a little bit around the manager, because, you know, last Wednesday's post-match comments, I think, caused some reaction. And then he makes a decision to take Conor Goldson out of the team. And I think that, you know, you've certainly seen from that, you know, he's not afraid to make decisions. I agree with you, by the way. I don't think that, you know, the reaction to everyone in terms of saying, let's drop Tavernier, let's drop Goldson, let's drop Lundstrom was in any way feasible. Tavernier, by and large, has a protected area at right back because we've got little to no options we can put in there unless we start shuffling the pack like dominoes. But I think dropping your vice-captain, I think, does make a statement. I think that it bodes well in the fact that it probably shows that we don't have anyone who may feel that their position is 100% guaranteed under this manager. Again, caveat that with, you know, as long as you've got some form of replacement that can potentially come in and step in for you. But it has been an interesting week for Philippe Clement because, you know, again, it's probably the first I've heard of the support not fully appreciating.
A wee bit of discontent, yeah.
Yeah, his approach to it. And I think, you know, again, like you say, he's absolutely got credit in the bank in terms of goodwill. But it's been different, I think, in terms of the sentiment. But then he backs up with actions. And I think that was really important. I think you would be in a very different position had he kept Conor Goldson and the worst had happened, we'd ended up going out against Hearts. I think he would have shouldered, you know, quite a fair bit of that responsibility. But he has shown that pretty much irrespective of your place within the squad and the senior leadership group, if he feels it's the right thing to do, he will do it.
I think for me, the old adage, actions speak louder than words. And I know a lot of people were disappointed, frustrated, angered by Clement's press conference after the Dundee game. And I was watching along at home, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to this were, and his general demeanour and the way he spoke with his coaches at full time and towards the end certainly made it evident to me. I thought watching on that he was not happy. He was not happy with how we played. He was not happy with some of the decisions that we made as they were cutting back to him during the game. Excuse me. And a lot of people said, you know, how hard is it to just come out and say this and say that? And he's gaslighting us, saying that we played well and that was a reaction. But I think as well, and I think I said this to you guys, this is the first real adversity he's faced with this squad. Now, we are scarred by, let's be honest, years of this, these performances at times when it matters in the league. And we're thinking, I think that the biggest concern was that he's not going to throw the players under the bus, right? He needs them between now and the end of the season. This is the first adversity he's faced with them. So he's used that considerable amount of credit that you mentioned that he has built up to go out and bat for his team. Now, the concern that I had, because again, evidence-based, this has happened before with the previous two, three managers, they use their credit, they go out and bat for their team in the hope that they will get a reaction for them. And I think that was a concern that a lot of people had. And I know the likes of David had mentioned it in daily updates and so on over on the Patreon site, that that is a risk, because we've seen other managers try that tactic and it has not worked for them. And ultimately, the group of players has ended up getting manager the sack, because managers always carry the can. But I think that for me anyway, I wasn't too reactive about it. And I think I'm pretty level-headed about most things. I don't think that it was something that I was unduly concerned about. I thought it was potentially a lesson learned. And I don't know how much the management team, the players, or whoever it may be involved with the club see in terms of our feelings. But I'm sure they certainly get a vibe of it from social media and so on, or even insiders within the club tell them what the general feeling is amongst the support after certain actions. But I think he had to do that. I think he maybe could have conveyed the message in a slightly better way. And I know we've got very much the other extreme with Dujon Sterling in his post-match. But it wasn't unexpected for me, for the manager, as I say, the first time he's faced difficulties with the group, to try to come out with a positive message and to try and keep the players on board. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, you know, these guys are poor and, you know, we're too far away now and so on and so forth. So I think maybe the reaction thing annoyed people, because, geez, we nearly conceded in the first 40 seconds and it certainly didn't look like a reaction to me. But lessons will be learned. I think it's just we're so reactive, and it's at the business end of the season. And I saw people sort of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying, oh, he's lost the head, and this is what happened with him at Monaco and so on. I thought that was a wee bit reactionary, but I think the players did okay. It wasn't a vintage performance on Sunday or anything, Cammy, but I think that they did repay that wee bit of faith that he showed in him. But as much as he was saying certain things, the actions in terms of the team selection, we were all crying out for changes and for Goldson to come out and Fabio Silva to come out. That's all you can ask for. As you said, if he'd have said those things and then there'd been no changes to the team and it had been the same old slog that we'd seen in the previous two games, then for me, alarm bells really would have started to ring. But we've been there so many times before that managers are saying one thing and they continue to back that up with their team selection. But the team on Sunday showed that he did acknowledge that things were wrong, things needed to change. They did change, and we got the result off the back of it.
Also keen to be able to try and get your thoughts as well, Laura, regarding what I thought was an excellent performance by Todd Cantwell. We have definitely missed Todd Cantwell whilst he's been injured. I think that it can be fair to say that there's sometimes been periods of hot and cold. But for me, especially for the setup for the Dessers goal, where I think that's vintage Todd Cantwell. Been able to get the ball within space with some real estate in front of him. He's able to progress with the ball. I think he loves being able to try and do that. He sucks in three Hearts players to be able to try and do something with him, which within itself creates the room for Cyril Dessers. Obviously, first shot's well saved. He scores with the second attempt. But I think that, you know, when you look at the league run-in now, because, you know, we can't even look towards the Scottish Cup final. We've got more important games than that right now. But as you mentioned earlier on, the league is not over by any stretch. I'm not suggesting, by the way, for anyone listening to this, that I'm confident that we'll win it. I think we've got a lot of work to be able to try and do. But it was certainly, Laura, for me, will be made a hell of a lot easier when we're able to use Cantwell within a position to go forward with purpose, attack with intent, driving the team up the park with him, but also being able to try and put... I think probably some doubts and questions into opposition players about what he's looking to be able to try and do next, because there's plenty of times where we know that Cantwell has tried to drop a shoulder and get shot by himself. If he can continue to mix that attacking intent, but also being able to set up opportunities, we've got a very potent weapon there. He is going to get targeted. We've seen that beforehand as well, where players will, you know, have a wee clip at him. I've been critical in the past of him potentially reacting to that. I'm not so much worried about that anymore, because I actually think he's phased part of that out of his game. But I think you saw the Dessers. I mean, he celebrated that goal as if he was the one that scored it. But that's where he absolutely wants to be. It's what he wants to do with the ball. And I think it just suits his style of play so well. We need to be able to continue feeding him that and almost give him this feeling of, you know, invincibility as he goes forward, because he knows he's going to create chances. It's, I think, going to be a key part to what we can still succeed this season.
I think Todd Cantwell is the type of player that thrives on being the star man, and we'd be more than happy to give him that crown, but he probably needs to show it a wee bit more often. Now, you know that I am a huge fan of Todd Cantwell. I think he's a great player. He's got that bit of dynamism that you need and that bit of creativity. I think that he as well, Cammy, was boosted by Mohamed Diamandé coming back into the team. And, you know, I know in the past we've said we don't need two defensively minded players with, you know, two sixes to play against most of the league. But I don't think Diamandé is a defensive midfielder in the sense that the likes of a Lundstrom was or a Stephen Davis was previously. I think he's more of a number eight. He can see a pass. He can carry the ball. And I think I understand the thought process behind it in terms of creativity of picking Cantwell and Lawrence together. But I don't know about you, Cammy. I'm just not convinced that it works, because they're two very similar type of players. They both seem to want to do the same role, which often leads to them occupying the same spaces. And then it nearly brings both of them out of the game, because there's not an opportunity to use either of them. And I think it's kind of been counterproductive, although I can understand the thought process behind it. But Cantwell had come into a really good spell of form, and then just as typical as our luck over the last, I don't know how many years now, he picked up an injury. But he's came back in now at a critical stage of the season. He's up to speed. I think, for me, I don't think that he's a guy that hides. If he gives the ball away four times in a row, he'll still ask for it for a fifth. And I know some people find that frustrating, but I think there's a lot to be said for having that bravery and wanting to continue to try to drive the team forward. And I do think that he thrives in that. And as terrible as it was the previous Sunday in that defeat to Ross County, I did think that, for me, he was the only guy that really looked like he was trying to drive the team on, and he was trying to create a goal and score a goal in a title running. You know, he hit the bar and he had a wee shimmy and he laid somebody in when I actually thought he could have been more selfish and had a shot himself. But he is a talisman, and we're going to need him to be that over these next six games remaining this season. I do think he has the shoulders to wear it, and I think he really thrives off the energy that we give him. You mentioned him celebrating himself. I've seen him do that in the past. I think, and some people might say, oh, that's selfish or whatever, because, you know, we have an opinion about, everybody has different opinions at our club about how our players act, but I think he really thrives off that energy from the crowd, and he really enjoys that. And he looked like himself on Sunday, and he was freed up, and maybe as well, probably a less defensive burden on him when it's a three-man midfield and it's him and Tom Lawrence. He probably knows when Lawrence pushes on, he's going to need to drop in a wee bit and so on. His mind was totally freed of that, and he could just concentrate on what he does best and bringing other people into play and carrying the ball forward. And as you said, he must be one of the most, if not the most wild player in the league, but he dusts himself down and he gets back up again. And I like players who have a bit of an edge, and I know that you grew quite frustrated with that last season. I don't think he's necessarily lost that edge, Cammy, but he's certainly in a more managed way. He's certainly reacting better to the fouls, and he's not becoming as preoccupied with it as he was previously. But he has an opportunity now to, I think, really stake his claim as a top Rangers player, you know, in that top group. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to say that we're not, because it's not mathematically impossible. There's still an opportunity for this side to win a treble. And if they were to go on and do so, and he played a big part, that's the sort of things that we remember at this club, you know. And it'd be the same with even the players who haven't played so well, you know. If we don't win any other trophies this season, it'll be, you know, Dessers is a ditty and this player's terrible and so on. But if he gets 20 goals and we go on and win the treble, we'll be saying about 4 or 5 years about, you know, didn't Dessers play his part and Dessers contributed? Because that's all we're interested in. That's all we judge this club on is silverware. And, you know, in 2 years' time, you'll not remember maybe many of the performances, but you'll remember how many trophies are in the cabinet, because that's how we were brought up and that's what it's about. And I really hope I'm right, but I just have a feeling that Todd Cantwell is really going to thrive between now and the end of May. I really think he lives for this stuff.
Well, it's a wonderful segue, because I do want to talk a little bit about Cyril Dessers. We're going back to Paisley on Sunday. The last time we were there, we managed to get all 3 points thanks to Cyril Dessers' goal. He's obviously just scored a brace in the semi-final. It just feels to me that there's constant dialogue about Cyril Dessers. I think a lot of it is perpetuated by, you know, some hefty critics of the club, which I think fuels a lot of their nonsense. There's Rangers greats in terms of Chris Boyd and Barry Ferguson. I've obviously been talking about them this week as well. I won't use the cliches, Laura, you know, the frustrated figure, the much maligned, all of that kind of thing as well. I think for me, the most important thing that we can rely on for Cyril Dessers now, because it's interesting. I think that we are now at that kind of stage of it's going to be him or nothing, because Kamar, I'm not suggesting that Kamar Roof won't play again, but there's also an element of this where Kamar Roof will seriously now be considering his future. He has very, very limited opportunity to be able to try and come in. And he's not going to displace Cyril Dessers permanently, of course, from now until the end of the season. So we're now kind of banking a lot of our chips on Cyril Dessers. And it's really interesting to me because, you know, we've heard the manager talk about away fixtures such as St Mirren as, you know, we need quite an industrious performance. And one of the things that I think's been a big plus in Cyril Dessers' book since Clint has come in, that I do see more physicality around him. I've been, you know, publicly critical of him prior to Philippe Clement coming in. The Dessers went down a little bit too easily. He struggled, I think, with some of the physical elements of the game in Scotland. There was that whole, you know, going down and then looking immediately towards the referee for a free kick, and you know, he wasn't getting them because, again, I think he just made it a bit too easy for them. If we do, as I think we're all hoping, go on to win a treble. You made a great point there about Cyril Dessers could be an important part of that. And I don't think for a single minute anyone back in September or October would have turned around and said that, you know, Cyril Dessers would have been able to get the amount of goals that he's going to end up getting this season, because I just think that looked beyond him. It's going to be really, really important to keep Cyril Dessers in a positive place, because we also know that he is going to need a few chances to be able to score some of these goals. I think he did very well in terms of trying to set up Fabio Silva when he very selfishly could have got a hat-trick. Plays a pass in for Silva and, you know, I think he tripped over his own feet. It was just comical. But for me, being able to keep Cyril Dessers on the boil is going to be one of the key elements if we are looking to be able to lift at least two, if not three, cups by the end of this season.
Yeah, I think people have made up their mind about Cyril Dessers, and he had an incredibly poor start to his Rangers career. You remember at the end of September, that Aberdeen game, obviously, which was the previous manager's last game. I sat with Caroline and our brother Angus at the game, and you know, to see him booed off as he was subbed because he was just that poor. And I thought, this guy just cannot wear the shirt again. And he has come back from what has been a really difficult start. Now, do I expect Cyril Dessers to be the number nine for Rangers next season? No. And whether he can remain part of the squad and he can play a role, perhaps, or would it be better to cash in your chips? And I'm sure we could probably get sort of 3-4 million from a club in Italy and he could go back there. But in the here and now, Cammy, I think, to be honest, I had contented myself with the fact that once the window closed, it was going to be Dessers, and I thought Silva, and I think Fabio Silva would have played through the middle a lot more as we saw initially, but we've just been decimated by injuries yet again, and that's meant that Fabio's had to play on the left-hand side. But I said this in a post-match, and I can't remember what game it was, but I think if Dessers had of started his Rangers career the way he's playing now and he has that initial credit in the bank, we as a support would probably be a lot more forgiven. But we make our minds up pretty early on players, and as I say, you know, we was pretty much written off by September and it was going to be near enough impossible for him to come back from that. But he as a player has managed to come back from that. He's gone on with it. He's scored goals. You know, I think he's on 19 goals now. I have no doubt that he'll get at least one more between now and the end of the season. Now, 20 goals, it's that thing of stats versus the eye test, Cammy. You know, how many chances does he need to get those 20 goals? But I don't know. I think, and I know the game's not just about paper, it's about what we see. But if you looked and, you know, our Rangers number nine has scored two goals and got you into a Scottish Cup final under normal circumstances, that you'd be happy enough. But I'm not bothered, to be honest, about becoming fixated on how poor he is or, you know, how many chances he needs. It's just the world that we're living in. We're just going to have to deal with it. Obviously, he's had to play a lot more minutes than I think anybody expected. Obviously, it was him and Danilo at the start of the season rotating, and then obviously Danilo's had a bad injury, and as I say, I think Fabio Silva was brought in to share the workload, and then we've had to end up playing the two of them most of the time, with Fabio off the left. So if he can continue to score goals between now and the end of the season by whatever means, if it hits his backside and goes in, I'm not bothered. But he's going to have to be the guy over these six games, Cammy, because as you say, Kamara, if you just can't rely on him enough. I was sort of happy that Roof came in against Dundee, and I thought, right, here's an opportunity. But to be honest, he was pretty much anonymous. I don't think Fabio Silva's the guy to get us goals through the middle, so we've no other options but to go with Dessers. So we're just going to have to cross our fingers and hope for the best. But with guys like Cantwell and so on around him that hopefully are going to create him enough opportunities that he can take his chances. But it's a pretty mixed opinion on him, as you say. A lot of people now are saying off the back of that brace at the weekend, you know, he's got as many goals as Jelovic and more goals than, you know, this player and that player. You know, people who, former strikers that we look back on with great fondness. But I think as well, the counter-argument to that is, you know, well, people are saying, well, we weren't getting that in the past, a striker that hit 20 goals. But just because it hasn't been happening, I don't think that we should recalibrate our expectations or anything. A Rangers striker, for me, should be getting 25, 30 goals a season with the amount of chances that we create. But I think, and again, it's sort of hindsight punditry and shoulda, woulda, coulda, but a lot of people saying, you know, if it had bought Lawrence Shankland in the summer, we'd definitely be winning this league and so on. You know, you can't say that with any certainty. Lawrence Shankland scored three goals since the third week of February, and two of them are penalties. So I know obviously Hearts aren't creating as many opportunities as Rangers, but I think we look at other players or other situations and think that they would be better for us. But I'm not convinced on that personally. Actually, if we were going to go for a striker in Scotland, I'd rather we went with Majovski at Aberdeen. He's 24, he's 4 years younger. Probably get him for, obviously, it'd be more money. You know, you're going to pay the Rangers tax for buying from another club in your league. But I just think all around, he's a better player. You know, how much money are you going to want to spend? Lawrence Shankland, as a guy who's 28, you know, he's certainly not going to get any better. Dessers was a big outlay, and are we really going to want to spend that much money again on a striker? And I'm sure it would be big wages. If we were looking at a player within our own league, I think we should be looking elsewhere and looking at Majovski, because I do think that he is the all-round package, and I think he's a lot quicker and he's a lot better ball carrier. But whether we look at any of those players remains to be seen. But right now, between now and the end of May, at next 4 weeks, I'm not going to berate Dessers. I might at the time, Cammy, in game, but I'm not going to go on to my social media and give him a barrage of abuse, because I personally just don't see the benefit of that. He's here and he's ours and we need him, and we've nobody else. So let's hope he can do us a turn.
Well, I mean, I think that's totally fair. And again, you know, the Cyril Dessers argument of, you know, could we have bought someone else, or should we swap him for something? Like, I mean, you're never going to, as you rightly say, get a definitive answer to that, because it's, well, theory, of course. But one thing that's irrefutable in my eyes, Laura, is a point you made earlier on, which is the kind of peaks and troughs of Cyril Dessers. And I think that you've got to respect, irrespective of how you rate him as a player or, you know, whatever, yeah, I think you've got to respect how he's been able to persevere and come back against, you know, those boos and the jeers and all of that kind of thing as well. Because he could quite easily have just turned around and went, look, this is not happening. I want a move. I want to be able to take it from there. I just want to be able to make sure that I can go back to being able to pick up the slack. And I think that's what we needed from him. We needed to be able to try and get that conclusion from him, that we knew that we would be able to get enough goals out of him to continue on our challenge. And certainly we've done that within the Scottish Cup as well. So we need to be able to try and back him up within that too. Well, Laura, with Cyril Dessers, I think well and truly covered. Let's talk a little bit then about what you would like to see from whatever Rangers team takes the field at the Simsa Stadium on Sunday afternoon. I'm not going to put you on the spot by asking, you know, what do you think the back line will be? You know, I think we've discussed obviously who we reckon will play up top and the potential midfield options. We obviously, at time of recording, do not have an update yet on the extent of Seema's injury. We also don't know if Ridvan will be back. So I'm just looking to be able to try and say about the opportunity now for us to be able to win our first league game of the month, buoyed by last Sunday's semi-final win, looking for a strong start. I think being able to go out and express ourselves, and we've used that word a lot across the course of the last few weeks, but confidence.
I want to see a performance, Cammy. Obviously, I want to see us picking up 3 points, but I want to see us put in a performance. And you said that right back at the start of the show, and a lot of people say that, you know, but I'm not too bothered about the performance as long as we win, and that's all well and good saying that, but that's not how football works. You can't continue to play poorly and pick up results. A sign of a good side is when you don't play poorly, or beg your pardon, when you do play poorly, you still win, but that needs to be an odd occasion. That doesn't need to be week on week, because it's just not sustainable. And one poor performance leads into another, as we've seen over the previous handful of league games. We haven't been great, to be honest, probably since, you know, that comeback win against Kilmarnock. I don't think it's unfair to say. So hopefully Sunday will give us a wee bit of confidence and a bit of a platform to build on. Obviously, the result is critical at this point in the season, but I think we do need to continue to build up that confidence. We need to continue to play well and build partnerships. And I would love to see Ridvan coming back into the team and to be fit. You said you're not going to ask me for my team, but I think if Ridvan came back in, I would be content. And as much as Seema would be a big miss, I was a bit disappointed to see him coming off, and I worried, have we rushed him back? Was he not fit, or is it just more bad luck? But I don't know. On the TV, looked like he touched his right hamstring a couple of times, so could just be a bit of tightness. But if he's not fit, and if Ridvan was back, you know, we have options there, and Dujon Sterling and obviously Ross McCausland. And I'm going to have that natural Northern Ireland bias, but I thought McCausland did well when he came on at the weekend. He can be a wee bit one-dimensional at times, but he has that fight and that endeavour. And I think that if he's available, or if Sterling's available to play on the right, we'll be okay. Actually, would like Seema to go back over to the left-hand side, because I don't think we've found a solution there. I don't think that's working with Fabio Silva. I think Matondo's more, as I mentioned earlier, an impact sub when games are stretched and teams start to come out a wee bit more, or they start to tire and they're not working back quite as hard as they were at the start of the game. So we'll see what comes of it. I don't expect to be disappointed at the weekend. I think Sunday will hopefully see this team get a wee bit of confidence back. I think players coming back in, as I said, that didn't play in those previous games, you know, the likes of a Diamandi and so on, will, and a Balogun leading the team, I think will be important. But you know, there's absolutely no room for error now between now and the end of the season. We know that, but it's a good opportunity to play first. I know St Mirren, it's one of those places, you know, you say, oh, it's a hard place to go, and yet we always, you know, we look at the records, we usually go there and win. But it's a good opportunity to play first and get 3 points on the board and close that gap and put a bit of pressure on them. I think they're playing at 3 o'clock, so if scoreboard pressure, win the game, and that gap is closed, and then they know that they must win. And I think with a week in between games now, obviously there's a good opportunity for the manager to work on things and to work with the group and the players to rest and recuperate after the weekend. So I'm expecting nothing else than 3 points, obviously, but I'm really hopeful of a good performance. And I think if Sunday is anything to go by, and if we can go to levels beyond that, I think suddenly things, and with inside and outside the camp, would be looking a lot more positive, can't we?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me as well, Laura, was starting Sunday, but starting well. And what I mean by that is, you know, not allowing your opponents to have a shot at goal within the first 30 seconds. You know, you take the benefits from that, you take the positives from it. I don't believe that it'll be, you know, a brilliantly remembered game of football. But what I do hope is that it's a solid performance. That
a bit of control, Cammy. I think, yeah. You know, I don't think it's going to be, as you say, I don't think it's going to be a vintage 4-0 win or anything, but a comfortable sort of 2-0 win, you know, control the game, control the tempo, keep a clean sheet, just those sort of positives that you can take away and build on before, obviously, we get back the Ibrox the week after. But that's all you can ask for, I think.
Yeah, and listen, it's about, you know, building on that momentum, I think, from last Sunday, but also looking to just show, as you rightly say, regarding, you know, their later kickoff, the scoreboard pressure, that, you know, we're not out of it. I'd like to still make sure that if we go to their place and we're very much within touching distance, that it's because we've maintained our design on the league and been able to get our trophy back. But all of that being said, it is about making sure that these players understand exactly what's in the line and what we have to get from them. It probably feels like prior to last Sunday that has been questioned. I don't think that's unfair, but it is over to them now. And as you say, we have a handful of games to be able to try and recover what I hope will be a very, very successful season as well. Laura, thank you so much for coming on and enjoying Minute Extra. As you rightly said at the top of the show, we had some scheduling conflicts and stuff as well, but I've really enjoyed having you on. I hope to get you back on before the end of the season, but you've been absolutely magnificent as per.
Thank you very much for having me on, Cammy. Always good to talk all things Rangers, particularly after a win.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if I'll get another guest on next week after slagging them off. You know, only a few short minutes ago, but we will do what we can. If you'd like to hear more from myself, Laura, a whole host of fabulous podders, they're all great podders, by the way, I just like to wind them up, head on over to our Patreon site, which is patreon.com/heartandhand. Thank you to our producers, Mike Lee and Paul Myers. Thank you to our show sponsors for Extra, which is zenithcoins.com. Please head on over there to see some fantastic merchandise. David will be back as per usual with Flagship on Monday to unpack all of the events in Paisley. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, Laura. We've got some sunshine in Scotland, so hopefully it will stay like this for a wee while at least. But I'm hoping that the weather continues to be lovely where you are as well.
Yeah, some sunshine in Ulster as well. Don't know if it'll last, but it's been nice since about Saturday, Sunday, so we'll take it while we can get it.
Yeah, this, I think, is technically our Scottish summer, which will mean it'll be over probably in about 2 days. Folks, have a brilliant weekend. Let's get 3 points on Sunday, Rangers. That's the most important thing, as we've discussed, and we will speak to you all again next week. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.